what happens is, it's the first time with that set of notes, and so, I won't say they're butchered, but they should be butchered more. I realize there are some things I should have done with them. You're getting more material than you deserve.
We get a lot of things we don't deserve in our Christian life. I'm not heaping on us.
No, these guys, I dare mention anything down there, and they're begging me to bring something just because I have to mention it. Now I forgot what it was. Cyrus was out hustling me, and I thought, it's somewhere on a computer.
Oh, yeah, then you have to take time to find it.
Yeah. Okay. Father, we're grateful for the privilege of being together. We remember those who aren't here. If they're on the way, we pray that you guard them, guide them. Then if they're not, we pray that you'd minister to them and their needs. We'll be grateful for you for that. Again, we're grateful to remember others. Remember Hurricane and his family and his mother-in-law. I trust that you'll work in her recovery from surgery today, and pray that you meet the needs of that family, and we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Before I went to walk, my phone rang. The time was about a half hour before I was ready to leave, and the hurricane was calling me from the hospital in Oakland, and his mother-in-law was going in for open heart, and he said, will you pray for him? She had, her BP was up, and her pulse rate was up, and he said, I don't know what they're going to do. 85 years old. And so I said, okay, yeah, I'll remember. And we walked along here just saying, you know what's going on right now, Father, in this case, and you know what your plans are here. And for Hurricane and his wife, she, I'm sure, is tremendously concerned. And then through it, he finally called me this afternoon late. And the doctor said surgery went well, and it's going to take her a little while to rehab after it. And then she's going to need some pretty constant care for a little while.
Are they able to do that?
I'm not sure how the family. He said, pray for our family that everything will be okay. The oldest son is an unbeliever. And so he said, pray for his salvation and all of this. And then, so a lot of things on their plate. So
the mother-in-law is a believer, though?
Yeah.
That helps a lot.
Yeah. At least a professing believer, and I think Hurricane, we got him shaped up. He knows how to gospel check and how to make it clear on that. So anyway, so he seemed to be doing okay, but he wanted to make sure he let me know what was going on in that circumstance. He was in ICU and probably be there another 24 hours.
Yeah, 85. So it's going to be pretty tough on you.
Yeah. On that, so. Okay, on 25, we're on number 8. And we've been through this material on lust, temptation, sin. You have that little chart, you have that material. I probably would have, if I had taken a little bit more time trying to get this caught up, I would have cut some sections out on that and made it a little simpler. Top of 26, lust and temptation are not external acts of lawlessness, and so they cannot be sin. And it's interesting when we understand that. It says, lust is in the heart. It's in the Sermon on the Mount. Now, it's Matthew 5. We're not going to go there. It's inside. It's not outside. And we remember 1 Corinthians. It's very clear in verse 6, or chapter 6, verse 18, that sin is exterior to or outside of the body, and that I jump down to C. It must come out of the heart to defile someone, and again, this is, pre-dispensation of grace, but in the context, it talks about how when it comes out, it defiles and it makes someone unclean before God. And so there's some consistency there. Our anthropology hasn't changed. The character of man, consequences of sin nature, remain the same. And so we can understand that. And in 6:18, it talks about something outside. Backstroke in.
Hi.
Hello.
Good to see you. Yeah. Hopefully the tide will be going the right way when you go.
make it easier to paddle.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Did Elena make that hat for you? She thought it was going to just like that, you know.
I did make that one.
Just like how you made that.
That's right.
You
know.
You're still gullible.
Hey, you said it.
Okay, so you got a little handful of notes. We are going to be clicking along. It's a lot more fun to spend 2 or 3 years in this material.
Yeah.
And so when we get into this, it will be. I think we just really need to be pretty definitive related to these attacks of our enemies. You don't have a 26?
Oh, yeah. She probably may not have them because we passed those out.
Okay. Okay. Just a minute. Whoops. What page am I looking for? 26?
And then you hang out 27 and beyond, too. So.
Yeah.
That's the last page you have.
Okay. There's a 26. See if I can scrounge another one out of this pile. That was on the bottom, that's why it's wrinkled. Since I'm passing out things from last week.
Last page I had was 19.
Oh, you mean I could have given you the whole set?
Thank you.
Now we're even, sort of. Okay. Last week I handed out the enemy chart. So, you want to...
I think this would be a good time for the pop quiz.
Those are the
half
sheets.
See if any of that
looks
familiar.
Yeah. Opened up with.
Yeah. The irony of it is that we're covering so much material in every class I'm teaching right now. I feel guilty if I review. And I like to review. it's not because I'm a little older than I was. Okay. We're on page 26, and we're down in the box in the middle now. And, again, this is a lot of review, and I'm not going to go through E, but it's just it's a setup. E I would have eliminated because we already have gone through it. But lots are all mental. They're thoughts. There are thoughts that can be generated from within, or they can come from outside. And so, because you have the thought, it shouldn't bring guilt. Though some thoughts will reoccur, sometimes more often than you would like. You don't have to confess the thought that's an evil thought. And God is not going to discipline us because of our thoughts. If we dwell on them, we move into some other areas. But God doesn't do that. He knows what we think and all of that, but we're accountable for acts of lawlessness rather than how we think. All temptation is also mental. And so, again, there's no guilt because you've made a lust your own. So if you bear the temptation and endure it, you end up with victory. If you succumb, it will lead you to sin, or at least to a trespass, so that you have determined to sin, whether the circumstances work. Lust never becomes a temptation apart from our making it our own, and I put that in quotes. We have to make it ours, and so these lusts that come into our mind and those thoughts, And the answer for that often is when these thoughts come our way, gotta get your head up where it belongs. And get your mind there and think on something else. And that's the best way to do it. Think about something different, and when you think of your position in Christ, it's really easy when you say, oh, this is the lost realm, and you say, well, it's from here, and in Christ I died to that. And I don't need to have that, and so I can be well reminded that down here I can live like I am up there and be free from that. And so that becomes important to us. And we have, you know, we have this other information, the sources of lust. Now, these notes I put in the box are notes that came from some of Dr. Schaefer's material. Like I said, we won't go through E because we've already been through it. And we did the, did I hand that other chart out last week or did I do it before? Did they make a little color chart with the moose?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh. I got to find them. Meese, meese, meese. Where are you, meese? There they are.
There you are. I'm looking at the
tree. You hear what I say, meese? I had so much fun when I did that chart because I found these graphics are related to the mouse, and with a little analysis it kind of fits. But I couldn't resist the guy that's hanging in the tree either, so anyway. But that's all there to help understand some of these things in this matter. Okay. We are on 27.
I have that one.
I know, I gave that. Okay. Now, what I want to do, I handed out in that little pile a chart like this. I mean, it's not a chart, it's just a diagram. What this is an overhead transparency that I use, and the data I have on it is almost, it's nine years ago. It was a little longer. I did this series, and we used this to work our way through it. I was doing one of those series where I had questions with kids and all of that, so it's been a long time ago on that one. And so this was the order of things. You need to identify the source of the loss. That's where we're going. We're going to look for the source of the loss. Isolate the specific loss. So you know it's a lust from Satan. You know what it is. And then you initiate by the biblical defense. I haven't taught Hebrew with flashcards for a while, so I don't read through the back as easily. And so, I mean, this little three-pointer was one that I used to drive it to, you know, young people especially. And what I did... maybe I should do that if I could find them. You could get, I think I have a deck of playing cards that the military had in the Air Force. They're World War II cards. And what they did was they played with these cards, but they had silhouettes of enemy aircraft. And so those silhouettes of enemy aircraft, it's just black and white, and you could tell the shape so you could identify what kind of an aircraft came. And, of course, part of the training went with that was that you learned what their armament was, what their strengths were, what their weaknesses were. And so if you were a gunner in a B-17, and from whether you were in the tail position or in the nose or wherever you were, you knew... if you could identify that plane, what to expect, because you knew their strengths. So what do? You would defend the airship against those strengths. And so I used those, and I blew some of them up and made them big and used them on an overhead, just so you could do that. Well, that's what we want to do, be able to see where it is, where it comes from. And it was like in World War II, you know, was this an Mussolini plane? Is this an Italian plane, or was it a German plane? If it was a Messerschmitt, what kind of a Messerschmitt was it? If it was a Japanese plane, they had a separate deck for Japanese planes. You know, was it a Mitsubishi Zero? What kind of planes? So that's kind of what we're doing. Now, that's very much a guy thing, I know, on it. But when we are able to identify these last months, that's what we want to do. So that's why I gave that to you. Just kind of as a thing. I use that every service for how long? I don't know. Probably 6 months. And we went over and over and over this. And I hope some of those, especially those young people that were there, got the handle on it. Because I'm not sure they would be in a place right now, some of them, where they would understand some of that. And so I hope it carries, you know, that's our goal. Okay. Okay, the value of studying the enemies of the Christian, it should be obvious, but we'll just say a few things about it. The method of identification, and that is we need to see what the lusts are and to identify them. So is this a lust from the flesh? We have a list. And every time I get into this section and I pull a set of material, I debate whether to include the such like list in the notes or whether to do a separate list. Right now, the ones that I'm working over, the notes I'm working over are, they're in the actual list. And so they're similar. They're very, very much like that. And so when you are able to say, this is what comes from the flesh. It comes from within. And you know who to blame for it. It's your sin nature. And so it manifests your old position in Adam, and you have issues there. Satan and demons. Now, it's so interesting when you start to say, where did that thought come from? How did it get in my mind? And that's one of those fiery darts that came zapping in, and it's a different approach. And I'm all ready to put it all in one package. And I didn't set this up that way. And then the world system. You have the world system, and it's pretty interesting what the world system will do for us. The world system has still fallen out from Tuesday. The election issue a week later. I mean, that was so world system related. And, it would be real easy. And it's something I have had to fight most of my life to not become involved in politics more than I am. I'm very certain. I mean, I have some pretty strong convictions in that matter. But I was involved in some campaigns back in high school days and was involved in politics pretty much for a couple of years. Went to college, sang in a choir at one point. The group was called Voices for Nixon. And they had a big rally, and Nixon was in Oakland, and they were only too happy to have people who had been in college choir sing. And we sang songs I didn't even know. Now I do. You know, you're a grand old flag, you're a high flying flag, it's forever in peace, may you wave. I haven't heard that one for a long time. In my memento box, I have that music. But the world system can just take your love and take it the wrong direction. And totally distract. And it's love, but you know, it's kind of interesting. I don't think it just distracts your love. 1 John 2, that's going to dominate. But I think it will affect the way you use other parts of the fruit of the Spirit. World system can mess up your meekness. Your objectivity is going to be messed up. And you can go down some of those different qualities of the fruit of the Spirit, and they can be messed up. The mention of the point of assault. Okay. We've gone through this enough. Let's just review point of assault. What wars against the soul? Yeah. Right. Okay, so that's where the salt is. It's in your feelings, your emotions. So, the flesh wars against the soul. We're going to be in these verses. Satan wars against your
mind.
On it. I mentioned Dianoia last night. In the Septuagint translation what was it, Hebrew word, and that it got some people thinking they'd just been playing around with it. The guys from Kaiser community had been working with a little bit of Dianoia.
So, working through the mind?
Yeah, it's a working through the mind. Dia is through. Noia is a form of mind. And so it's the workings of the mind. And so he messes with the way your mind works. In the world system?
Both.
Yeah, it's kind of a combination. How would you know? The vainglory of life. The lust of the eyes. I just missed one. Going backwards. Right, that's vainglory of life.
Yeah.
But, and so, if
Through
16 is the verse we're looking at.
First John,
I'm sorry. Yeah, I did go button into it. Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes is what I couldn't remember. And said that which is visible. On it, and they probably would have a four-pointer if this had been written today. It's kind of funny how, over the years, the idea of the lust of the eyes was used in one way, but the kinds of things you bring through the lust of the ears on it is just really interesting. I'm reading and started an article. I'm going to have to go back and start it all over again. On worship, and comes from a very interesting source. It happens to be in the Biola magazine, and they're dealing with the fact that what's going on in worship, and they got a big music program at Biola, and the fact they need some content, some substance to their worship. And I need to finish the article so I can represent it accurately. But it's kind of interesting. They don't really like some of the stuff that's going on. And they're telling about some kind of thing that was going on in some churches, and somebody was trying to counter some of the vain repetition stuff, and it hit the internet. And YouTube, you can watch this thing on YouTube, and it's in a bunch of other places. So I thought, might be interesting to see that. I just don't have time to do that. But you see, so you have flesh, soul, Satan and demons, spirit, primarily. You know, Satan gets you, and you are what? You doubt. No, let's go to a different place. Disappointed. And when you're disappointed, sometimes it makes you feel bad. See, I mean, that's kind of a logical progression. So that would affect your soul, too. I mean, we know that. And so we can't get rid of soul. We wouldn't really want to. Could you imagine being people without soul? It would just be really interesting. I mean, there are things that bug us about our feelings and that kind of thing. But look at the dimension we have in our life because of it, because God created it. And there we go. The manner of defense. The enemy charge got it right there. You know, Satan attacks, you put on the armor. The flesh, you use Romans 6 and get your frame of mind where it needs to be and set your reflective thinking on your position in Christ and count yourself to be dead to those things that will come. World system, what do? You just don't let it misdirect your love or the fruit of the Spirit. So that's a man. He just says, stop doing what you're doing. It's to stop loving the world. And this is called summary time, but because of the way I set this up. And so when we look at this, now I already did this in your notes, and this is one point when I went and ran these, I thought I'd pull this out, and I didn't do it. And that is, we already went through this. Christ already has gained victory over these enemies. And it's so guaranteed that though it will be 1,007+ years, when we tread Satan underfoot, it's settled. He lost. And he's trying his best to overcome that, and it's not going to happen. Our sin nature, when Christ died, he died for it perfectly and completely. And we just say, why didn't you take it away? It would have been nice on that. But it gives us an opportunity to learn how to rely on him. World system, kind of interesting when you think of it. The world system, you know, from Abel to the flood, you've got the world system. That's demonstrable. From the flood, after the flood, and the things that happen after the flood, the world system comes back. Satan works it again, and before we know it, we have the elements of the world system. And so then that happens now and then where the world system is set aside. The best part of it is when the kingdom comes, the world system, when Christ comes back, the system is gone, set in E. And so you can imagine what that does to Satan when he knows he's had this authority and now he's in chains, he's in prison for 1,000 years, and he knows something's going on with his neatly designed world system. And so you think of that. And so we have three different enemies, and you've got the chart, so the chart's an answer here on that. And then I wanted to say one thing about the enemies of an unbeliever. They're our enemies, but they're not the unbeliever's enemies. When we really think about it. I mean, if you're a child of the devil, or a mature son of the devil, from a Christian perspective, he's not out for your best. But really, you're in a position where you have an allegiance to your father. And he says, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. Sounds like John 8:44 and 45 in that matter. And the flesh and the sin nature, that's the only thing they have. They don't have the battles that we do. If you have an unbeliever and they've got issues about something without a new nature, where does the problem come from? Why would they be bugged because they were doing something?
Conscience.
And conscience is all moral. It's neither immoral nor moral. And so the conscience will say, don't do that. So conscience will be their guide, and they will tell them not to do certain things in that matter. But when we understand, and that's one reason in these notes earlier, when I work these notes, I kept saying, there are certain things I really think we need here. And I gave you the list of the results of the fall. And so their intellect is messed up. So they can't think straight. And you can give them the gospel and make it so clean and so clear, and they'll look at it, and they have a perverted view of an accurate, careful presentation. The only one that can get in there and straighten those thoughts out is the Holy Spirit. Their experiences are all in their fallen state. That's why Paul so often talks about, don't live in your old position in Adam. You've got things that have come out of that. Their feelings are controlled in that way. And an unbeliever can have some very, very unrighteous feelings, and it's not a problem to them if they haven't been in an environment where it affects their conscience. And then faith. Now you say, why put faith with unbelievers? Unbelievers have a kind of faith in that they believe certain things, but and they trust in a lot of things, I mean, the one thing I will probably not forget until I get to glory is my father-in-law when he said, "I'll take my chances." Then he was bragging to me one day about talking to some Jehovah's Witnesses. And he essentially said, "You know, I'll take my chances, but I have a better chance than you almost, because my son-in-law is a pastor." And I thought, "Oh yeah, I don't have very long coattails, you know, in that matter." And that was his mind working. There were times that I talked to him, and we talked spiritual things. I mean, he had an interest in, I mean, he had to want to talk to me because you need to talk about somebody else's life and of interest, and we'd talk, and the gospel. He heard it more than once. Well, I mean, he heard it, and it was presented to him more than once. He didn't hear it in that case. And so the enemies have an ongoing influence on body, soul, and spirit with an unbeliever. It's so hard when you have somebody who's drug addicted. This morning I was walking to come over here to catch up with Dale. And I was walking down Little Mina, and I saw someone come around the corner here with a bag, so I presume they had been to High Pantry. And it was a woman that I haven't seen before. At least I don't think I have. It was raining, and she came. It was kind of funny because my first thought was she came to my side of the street instead of facing traffic. And on a rainy, dark day, it's not too smart to go with the traffic coming from your back. And she cut across and walked past me. And I looked at her, and I thought, math time. I thought, how old is this lady? I mean, she looked like she was very old, but she may not have been. And, the years were on her face, like, she didn't have all of the sores and stuff. Well, I didn't look that close, but anyway, she just looked, she walked like a younger person and looked like she was about ready for a care center. You know, her facial expression, and I have no idea who she was. I guess I'd never seen her before. And she was smoking, and on a day when everything's coming down, and it was funny, today was supposed to be a windy day, and I could smell that smoke for three houses. You know, I measure my walk that way. And I thought, why is it supposed to be windy? Let's get this thing out of here. I don't want to try to hold my breath for three houses. On a that body. That's flesh. That's flesh. That's that addiction to something that's supposed to be, you know, pharmakia is a religious superstitious law, but really taking drugs is just that kind of thing. Create a kind of experience to replace God is what it is. Soul, a person, their soul, so many unsaved people just live by pure soul on it. And I'm not just talking about bands in New Orleans. In that matter. I'm having fun.
Not the groovy kind.
Oh. I picked up some CDs for my birthday. I didn't know I was getting them for my birthday, but it worked out that way. And there's this guy out of New Orleans who moved to Portland. And when Preservation Hall was in, the jazz band, he came and he sat, Bruce and I went, and he sat in on that concert, and he played, and he was just an amazing musician. He's a saxophone player, and he played soprano sax in that. So, Reggie, I said, I'll remember his name. And, you know, I couldn't remember it. I was going to check and see what I could find, and so I saw something in the Oregonian, and they had a release of an album he did up here. It's very local, and pretty cleverly done. And so I went and found him on the net, and he had a CD of, what do you want to say, Christian music. And so I listened on the net to his rendition of How Great Thou Art on the alto sax with Alleluia. He went into that. That was really impressive to me at that time. It just, it was fun. But then he had the old record cross, and Jesus loves me on it too, but but I got it. And there's some soul, and it was interesting because he was active in a church in New Orleans. And, you know, they go with some of the churches. They're more accurate, but we don't dare. And they call her pastor, bishop. And they were active in that album. It was interesting. Dale was talking about that Maurice Lucas service. And I didn't realize he went to Mount Olivet.
Oh,
no, he went to Mount Olivet Baptist Church. And the pastor had something to do with it. Yeah, so that was kind of really interesting to hear that Dale was going to send something to Kevin. And you remember him? You know. So, spirit, problems with spirit. Spirit involves how they think. Unbeliever, you can have a guy, I'm reading letters by Feynman, the Nobel Prize winning physicist. He died in, 1996, I think. But he was a California Institute of Technology guy. Guy that would have been fun to sit through his lectures in physics. Because he he was an outstanding physicist and teacher. And when I read that, those letters that he writes, I mean, he's just a corker. And he's absolutely hilarious. He wins the Nobel Prize, and he's sending letters back to some people he knew, some he didn't. You know, it was like, it took a Nobel Prize for you to write me letters, just let me know what you're doing. You know, that kind of thing. But I hear this guy is absolutely brilliant. And a couple of letters that I read in the last couple of days, a woman wrote him, asked to for a little bio sketch and a black and white photograph, because she was putting the Jewish intellectuals that had won Nobel Prizes in a book. And she wanted him, because he had was a Jewish in his roots. And the letter he wrote back to her was just amazing. And, I mean, it said so much, because I know enough about how it works. And he said, when I was 13 years old, I realized that I didn't believe what the Jewish faith taught, and I ceased to be a Jew and had my own religion. And she wrote him back and tried to push him. And he wrote her a letter that was just scathing about this thing of whether Judaism is a religion or a birth or what. And he called it a religion. And he said, I was born to family who were practicing Jews, but I quit being a Jew. And she didn't like that. Then she sent him a letter a year later to put him in a little collection of articles. And he said, did you forget my correspondence at such and such a date? Read it, and you'll know why I said you will not put this in. And that was, I mean, his spirit was just, I mean, he's that kind of, that's why I like him probably. Because he's just got just the edge of weirdness. I mean, there's always a little vinegar in what he had to write in his letters. Okay, the control of the unbeliever by his spiritual enemies. Satan is God and prince, and all of his cohorts will affect him in that way. The flesh is limited. That's all he has, or she has. One nature, that's it. I believe in one nature for an unbeliever. I'm a one naturist when it comes to unbelievers. But I'm two natured when it comes to saints. And I would like to be a one naturist, but I can't because Scripture doesn't teach it. So we need to remember that. The world system is designed to control the sin nature. It was not, could not be designed to control new nature. because it was organized with Abel, and so the world system doesn't know what to do with a spiritual believer because you're weird. You don't fit in the criteria that system is designed for. And so just, you know, you don't forget, I mean, it's antiquated when you look at us. I mean, God has done something new and different and better. And so when the world system is designed, you're trying to take something, you know, they want to say something is modern, and they can't do anything for us. We have to let it in that matter. And so, and this takes us back to position and how we participated with Christ in his work. And so let's be reminded of this truth. And that is, when Christ died, I died. When Christ died, you died. When Christ died, he got victory over the sin nature. When you died, you got victory over the sin nature. When he died, he had got victory over Satan and demons. When you died, you got victory over Satan and demons. When Christ died, he got victory over the world system. When you died, you got victory over the world system. That is imputation. Your position is exactly what his is because of what he has done. Our perfect substitute. And so we appropriate it through the work of the Holy Spirit by baptism, by regeneration, by his filling, by all the works he has enabling us. And so that's there. So the Holy Spirit has a role, and the Father does. And so we have a quality of divine nature. And that's for 2 Peter. And we're not too far from that verse. I think I'm going to finish verse 1 Sunday. I'm going home to finish the last part of the outline in the last segment of that verse. That's kind of neat. No, we'll say that for Sunday. Why do we study this? What do we find to clarify? Well, we can get definitions. That's pretty important to us. You know, we need to be able to define it. Like I say, you need that silhouette so you know what enemy it is. And so you know where it's coming from. And we have a lot of information about a lot of these things, yet we do have some limited. And it's like the fruit of the Spirit. When you look at parts of the fruit of the Spirit, you've got a whole bunch of them on some of them, just a couple of verses on a few. And so it's really kind of interesting. Though, if with the right kind of work, you have a lot more than you think in some of those. You know, it's knowing derivatives and that kind of thing. Okay, recognizing enemies, and hopefully you'll have a basis for defending against your spiritual enemies when we get done. Just, I hope, a review. Top of page, summary. Scripture clearly describes the fact that a vast majority of the problems which face... Okay. A believer come from the three spiritual enemies. God permits their assaults and provides certain and specific set of defenses. And Scripture gives all the answer for all these problems. From that. So, okay. Did you get that correction? I get going looking like things. I don't know why my fingers don't cooperate all the time. It's like when I do Chris, I still have that problem. I have to think every time I do Chris, because I hit Christ so often that OTT gets hit real often. just out of habit. Okay. Now, when we talk about the sin nature or the flesh, a lot of people don't understand that it's an enemy. This is reflected in the fact that so many Christians blame Satan for everything. The devil made me do it is the answer to every spiritual problem in some people's minds. And who was it? Who was that comedian that used that line?
devil made me do it?
The devil made me do it, yeah.
Who was that?
Oh, come on, he's...
It's an older,
Yeah. And he's a... I can see him.
Eddie Murphy?
Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy did.
Somebody did it way before him.
Oh, yeah, way back before. Yeah. But he picked it up in a couple of movies.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
And I really kind of made fun of it.
Right.
In that way. Mm-hmm. And so what happens, this to me is a huge reason so many Christians are going around totally defeated. Because they don't know that what's wrong with them is a flesh problem, and they blame it on Satan, and so they don't know what to do with it. And if they hear what to do with it, they can't figure it out. They can't understand the very idea of reckoning. And, you know, when I say that, I think of going to Bible college and having a, you know, I don't know how many young people in Bible college chapels that could not grasp what reckon meant. And they had more trouble, and, you know, it's right there. They had some of them, I think we had to take a course in Romans, and I don't think half of them understood it. I'm not always sure that the professor understood that part of it either. He did understand there were two natures, so... And so they couldn't identify the enemy, they can't defend against the enemy, and so how do you get access to provisions of grace if you can't lick your sin nature? You can't if you don't let God do it for you. And so as a result, there's calamity, because the sin nature is in control. It creates a confusion of right and wrong. And you look at what's going on in the church today, and how in Christendom today, how many people make wrong right and right wrong in many, many ways? And it's scripture they're countering. It is just plain outright counter what the Bible teaches. And they should be able to see it, but they don't understand it. And so as a result, you end up, and I put the word evil in here, with evil habits. Now, you notice I didn't tell you which Greek word I wanted here. Is it kakos or is it panibros? Well, the reason I could put evil in there, it could be either one. Habits that are malignantly evil that tend to want to spread and get other people involved, or you have habits that are just lacking in character.
Do you have the definition of reckoning in here?
Yeah, down a little later. Mm-hmm. Reckon means to count it to be true. To count it to be so. To impute it. The word reckon, our English word logical, comes from the word that reckon is built on. Logizomai is a word in logical. So we count it to be logical, count it to be so. And so it means we have to know it, and then we can count it to be so. And that's Romans 6. Romans 6 says, no reckoning yield. And that's later in these notes, after a few more pages. You don't have those pages yet. It's after page 40 on that. Okay.
And there's a difference between, I lost it now.
Still on the reckoning?
No, I lost my question.
Okay. I'm glad somebody else said that too. So we need to understand that this enemy is inside of us. We need to understand a little bit about where it comes from. And it comes ultimately from Adam in the fall, and it's passed from father to child. So my dad got his sin nature from my grandfather. And he is from his father. And so it goes right back. And it's what we call seminal transmission of the sin nature. It doesn't come through the mother, it comes through the father. And you can demonstrate that, and our purpose is not to do that. So my kid has a sin nature, my kids both have a sin nature, and I'm to blame on it. And it's kind of funny doctrinally when you understand that and you you think, do I really want to pass this in nature on to somebody else? You know, I mean, it's funny how that's the way we tend to think. Now, when we look at the words that relate to sin nature, I've been using sin nature. The word flesh is a word that's translated carnal in 1 Corinthians 3. Carnal means fleshly. So 1 Corinthians 3, it relates to the flesh. It is that which is housed in the flesh, and is called the flesh. And so you have sarkikos, which is fleshly, and sarx, which is flesh, in that. And so that's one of the technical words. Sin nature, we can talk grammar, but when you look in Romans 6 and 7, you're looking at singular sin. It can be the sin nature, which is the more clear marker, or it could just be sin without a definite article, but it's singular. Old nature, we do not have a verse that talks about our old nature. We do have a verse that talks about the nature we receive related to the Father, and so this is a logical description of old nature. And so that's old heart, new heart. Again, that's a deductible. I mean, then we deduce that. It's not something we have a verse for. And so we'll. And the reason I'm giving you these is because if you read very many places, you might run into one of these terms and not know exactly what they mean. And that's what they mean. Sometimes I'll just use, you know, the old heart. You kind of have to be careful when you put it on the kids' level. Child Evangelism Fellowship used to have a lot of trouble with this. You know, they go to the old man and the new man. They didn't understand old man and new man is not old nature and new nature. But it took me a long time to get that out of my head because they had neat artwork when they were when they taught that. On that. I often wonder if they're still around somewhere. Trunk somewhere that hasn't been raided yet. My mom kept everything that she used, and she taught that. Okay, scripture, we will be able to look at words, find meanings, and we'll be able to see some of the activities. And so the manifestation, we'll be looking at those things. Okay, that leads us to a good place to start. I only went 52 and a half minutes. Okay.
I remember that question.
Okay.
Could you give an example of what would be a sin of the flesh and what would be a Satan?
Okay. See the chart you have right up there ahead of you? There you go. There is a list by the column. And so a lust of the flesh would be what? Let's say religious superstitious awe. Let's use fornication. Division. I'm just thinking down some. Satan. Lying is an attack of Satan. Independence from God. The three D's. Doubt, discouragement, disappointment. That's what that list does. Now, the world system, you notice it's not, there are institutions of the world system that are designed to manipulate. So you have to, that's why the world system is so tricky. But that's why that chart, I gave you that chart to help with that. So that's where we're headed. We're going to go right down that flesh column, and that should start, I don't want to touch this one section of it, it's too important. We will really start on about 33. On 32, I go through the list out of Galatians 5, and then we'll go through, you know, right down and try to, in fact, if you want to skim down those notes and look through some of them, if you have questions as to what's there, we need you to kind of be ready to ask them, because that way I can help you more if you have a chance to look at a little bit ahead at some of those. I mean, we're working Greek words, and this chart that I gave you here gives you definitions of works of the flesh out of Galatians 5. So that chart will help you a lot in grabbing a hold of that. That chart has been... When did I do this chart? That's been 93. That's 17 years ago.
And these things never go over into flesh, and these things never go into satanic attack. Doubt can't be.
Okay, doubt as a satanic attack can affect your soul, and sometimes doubt can make you carnal. I mean, it'll make you carnal. If you move into that area, and you're, you know, you might, you know, doubt might make you hate somebody because you didn't like what they said. See, and that kind of thing. But those are, and that's why what we're going to do, we're going to go through these verses for these so you can see. The flesh is easy because it says these are the works of the flesh in Galatians 5. Satan, we have to dig around in places where Satan does certain things. We've got a passage in Ephesians that is so clean, except it's got a couple works of the flesh dropped in the middle of it. And so there's a little bit of a mix. And that's where we're going to go with it. I think that will help. But that chart is pretty clean. It is real clean. But we take apart so we can put together. Because when Satan attacks us and we succumb to his attack, and when I say we get discouraged, what does it do? Then we quit living in the new nature and we move into the old nature. And that means we're carnal. And it takes something outside to do that. You can't get carnal all on your own. It takes something exterior something. You might be sitting there reading a book on your own, but something in that book might be something that either Satan uses or in the world system that gets you out and makes you carnal.
So the works of the flesh can't happen without satanic attack or the world system?
If you're spiritual, they can't. If you're not spiritual, they can happen anytime. Because the Holy Spirit, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So Satan, if you have somebody inside you that helps you with that. I just quoted a bad verse for what I was trying to say. But if you're spiritual, I was just looking, in these notes I go back over Galatians 5:16. You know, you'll never ever, not even once possibly, bring to completion a lust of the flesh. And we'll be working at. But you can see where we're going with this, I hope. And we're going to go through the flesh first, then we'll go through Satan. And go through that list.
So you were saying that, like, people that have problems with saying everything's wrong with satanic attacks, they blame everything, like every one of these things, on it being Satan?
Yeah. And so if you're angry, the devil made me do it. See, and anger is another column. It's one of the works of the flesh. And so...
But it doesn't happen without satanic
attack. Well, and they're carnal already. Yeah, they've gotten there somehow. And if you don't believe that you have a sin nature, then you've got a problem. Because all of a sudden, then you have to find somebody to blame, and of course you can't blame yourself. You know, that's human nature in a way. And if you blame yourself, you're going to go psycho. Because if you say, I did it, then when you got a sin nature to it, and you have an ego, that can control that. You use your ego, to get your mind where it needs to be so you can overcome these things. And so if you can't, if you don't believe that the sin nature has these problems and you have that problem, then either you're going to blame yourself or somebody else. And the little bit of understanding of that will help a huge amount. Always does. So you know it's a sin nature, but your ego is a Greek word I. It's not just a psychological term. And the I is your person. So you have one person. Sometimes you feel like you have a split personality. And the reason you think that is because Paul wrote about it in Romans 7. There are things I don't want to do, but I keep doing. He feels like you've got a split personality. Well, he doesn't. It's his sin nature fighting with his new nature. And his ego is not, his person is, he's having trouble getting used to that. That's kind of fun, what I'm talking about right now, having gone through 1 Peter. Because when I study it, I don't preach that area because I don't want to complicate things too much. But it's interesting to see the involvement of the ego, the I, with spiritual believers to maintain their spirituality in spite of the persecution. And you can see that. And it's not just, you just put your head where it belongs, do what God says, and things work better, and you can handle persecution. Okay, let's pray. Did that help answer? Yeah. Well, a lot of this we're going to, I hope, but wave it, flag me. Ask, because that's what we're here for on it, because, I need all of that after Monday night. And I'm in the rhythm after Monday. We got lots of questions on Monday nights. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of being here tonight. Pray you bless, and the next hour may be an encouragement. Again, we're so thankful for the provisions of grace that makes it possible for us to have victory over these enemies in Christ's name. Amen.
You actually confused me, too. I think I heard you say it. I'm not sure whether I heard you say this or not.
I didn't say it.
You did say you cannot get an attack from the flesh if you're spiritual. Is that what you said?
Not by itself. Okay. If you're walking by the Spirit, it's not going to happen. But
you can have a lust.
Well, but where are you going to get the lust?
Well, that's true if your mind is reflexively thinking about it. The lust is
going to come, from outside.
Yeah. So Satan would have to shoot in a...
Yeah, or a demon. That gun shoulder say.
Or the world. Right. Have to
or the world system. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, it's interesting. It would have been better for us to have lived back in the New Testament era than today. Because the world system had less of an influence, and it was a different way. I mean, we have so many influences. And, it's funny how we try to keep up with them. I've been hearing this ad on the radio and about monitoring your child on Facebook. And the ad, I always smile at the ads, so I know what they're doing. But anyway, they say, we were so glad that we got this service because we found out that our child was talking about taking his life, and so we were able to sit down and get that straightened out. So you need this service and get your trip. No, they didn't quite say it that way, but that was it. Okay. And it's interesting. You don't have the pressures. They didn't.
Stuff. That's all. Just a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.